You know, it doesn't matter what you've accomplished, whether it's building a railroad through the barren desert or creating a car company that provides cheap transportation and jobs to countless numbers of people, or even reach the edge of space on your own dime. No, the most important achievement of all time is being a progressive telling those guys that they did it wrong. Hey, everybody, I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is Right Angle, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, I hope you watch, well, I know you guys watched it. I hope our viewers watch Richard Branson and his crew on Spaceship Two reach the edge of space, not quite space, but very nearly, on that thrilling flight on Sunday. And no matter whether you think they reached space or not, it was an amazing thing to see, and maybe a glimpse of a future that almost was back in the 50s and early 60s, and maybe could be again. I was thrilled by it. Our progressive friends, not so much. On CNN, Brian Stelter, Mr. Potato Head himself, says he has to, quote, wonder in the future if billionaires taking vanity tours of space while the climate overheats will be one of those moments the historians write about. Spoiler, no, it won't be. Future historians also won't be writing about Brian Stelter unless they uncover ancient video of him and start to wonder if the early 21st century atmosphere wasn't poisoned by a heady brew of estrogen and helium. Aside from that, Bill, you know, Walter Cronkite was not a very patriotic American, as far as I'm concerned. He was one of those kind of old school one world government types.
He was, in fact, yes.
Yes, but yeah. When he covered our space program in the 60s, whether it was Gemini or Mercury or Apollo, the thrill and the recognition of that great achievement was there in every broadcast. What happened to that?
Well, I should start this by saying one of my Moon Back to America shows this week is on this very topic. So I'm going to keep kind of like the technical aspects of it out of it and just deal with the reaction. There is a quality about progressivism is predicated on envy, but it's also predicated on the idea that the people who we should be envious of, this is the philosophy, are capable of doing things that we can't do. And so this is the great contradiction in progressivism. And this is something our friend Alfonso Rachel points out all the time. Every time any of the leftists talk about white supremacy, they're basically making the case for white supremacy. What he means by that is, if you're basically saying that the small percentage of the world's population is responsible for all of the evils and responsible for keeping you down, if that's your philosophy, if that's what you're selling, then you're basically saying, yes, these people do have extraordinary power over your lives, and I don't buy it for a second. So when they see things like this, that you get the kind of reactions that I got listening to the NBC coverage. When they're busy not exploding, you had the woman come on saying, you know, well, this billionaire's toy, and the rich have gotten much richer in the last several years and so on. And so have the poor. But that part's left out. And we go on and on and on with all of this, Steve. But this idea that, see, when you hear things like this, you come face to face with the core essence of what progressivism is. It is a philosophy of stagnation and limitation. The core fundamental idea of socialism, communism, and progressivism is that there is a limited pot of money in the world, and that anybody who takes more than 1/8 billionth of the total amount of money in the pot is taking away more than their fair share and taking it away from other people. And the reason people have less is because people like Branson, whoever the case, take more. It is the exact philosophy that you get when you have a mindset of limitation. And when you have a mindset of limitation, you're driven by envy because you don't feel that there's anything you can do about your life. If you see somebody doing well, they're doing well at your expense or somebody else's expense. And this is what happens. And we should mention, because this is the key point, is that this extremely limited, extremely primitive view of the world is the worldview that has been dominant throughout all of human history. It's only recently, 1776 is just a strobe light in the time span of the human species, that people began to realize that, wait a minute, hold on. Instead of, if you're saying that that this person is evil because they've taken a bigger piece of a limited pie, it's only last microsecond of human history where we said, well, why don't we just make more pies? If you want more pie, why don't we just make more pies? And this is the thing that they simply cannot get through their head. They cannot understand it. They cannot understand that wealth can be created out of thin air. When I say wealth being created out of thin air, I'm not talking about a metallic spaceship that goes into space. I'm talking about a corner lot where there is nothing there and a person with a dream of a dry cleaning building that could provide top quality service for people who need dry cleaning at a lower price. And if this person has the vision to visualize this, he's ready to put the work into it, ready to put the work into a business plan, goes to the bank, manages to convince them that they're sincere, he might get a loan, likely will, if he's serious, and he will then turn that abandoned lot into something that is generating wealth, that is providing more of stuff that was not there before. And if he runs this corner business successfully, sooner or later, he'll have enough money left over to open a second one of these things, and then a third. And as long as this guy with this vision of a dry cleaning store continues to use these principles, he will then own a nationwide chain of dry cleaning stores, and he'll become a billionaire. And people will say he took the money from poor single mothers who wanted to spend it on their baby formula. When in point of fact, that corner lot was there and continue to be a corner lot and would continue to be a patch of weeds until somebody comes along and decides that they want to create wealth out of thin air. And when I was doing this speech on a regular basis, I would go and visit America, I'd say, hey, I just came in from Los Angeles and I just overflew downtown LA. And if you would get a chance, next time you can do this right now at home, take a look, Google Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles, I think 1864, and you'll see a couple of mud adobe huts and a hitching post and a donkey. And having flown over it relatively recently, there's more now there than there was before. So where did that stuff come from, Steve? Where did the skyscrapers come from? We stole it from the third world. That's exactly right. We stole it from Ethiopia. We stole it from Mozambique. We stole it from Lithuania. We just went in and took all of their skyscrapers and all of their Mercedes and all of their MRI machines and all of their glass towers and all of their widescreen TVs. We sent the Marines in there, took it from there and brought it here. And that's why they don't have any and we do. But think about it. This is the entire point. Where did it come from? If Los Angeles was nothing but a series of adobe huts 150 years ago, and now it's not, where did it come from? It was created out of thin air. Wealth is created out of thin air. If you have $1.50 and you buy a legal pad and a pencil, you've spent $1.50. But if you write Weekend at Bernie 17 and somebody's idiot enough to pay money for that, now you've created a property that's worth $100 million. Where did it come from? Out of thin air. And so when you're going to bag on people like Branson, or you're going to bag on people like Bezos or Musk or any of the other ones of them who've got billions of dollars or millions of dollars, at no point ever, ever did Musk or Bezos or any of these other guys have the one thing that people in the government do have, which is the ability to put a gun to your head and make you buy their stuff, right? They have never, ever had that. And so Seltzer, who gets paid, well, presumably, look, all I can say is that he must be paid by volume. Okay, that's all and I don't mean volume of writing either. If he's actually complaining about the spaceflight, he emits more greenhouse gases in any 24-hour period than any number of spaceflights are likely to do for the foreseeable future. But when you have rich people like that, basically trying to show how chummy they are with the masses, right? It's basically an indication that whether he realizes it or not, he's either lying to people in order to maintain his job, or he is actually stupid enough to believe that he gets paid hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars because some student now can't afford to go to college, right? Yeah. All of these people who you're quoting, who are talking about these guys spending the people's money, are making more money than the people are. So why is it that we have to listen to Brian Seltzer, among others, who get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars talking about stealing money from other people, when if all this theory is true, how many poor black kids are not going to college these days because Brian Seltzer's hundreds of thousands of dollars of salary have to be paid out of the giant pot of money that we were born with 4 billion years ago?
My only concern is that in 150 years, LA is going to be Adobe Huts again.
This is called progress.
Sustainable.
Yeah. Scott, Bill mentioned NBC News, and one of their writers, Chandra Steele, a young tech writer, she caught my eye when I was researching this morning. She wrote for NBC News that all of humanity loses because the stratification of who gets to leave the stratosphere is not another division we need. I had to actually pause there for physical reasons because it locked my jaw that somebody could watch a guy fly nearly to space on his own dime and take a crew with him and sell tickets now to anybody else who wants to go for a field that was once limited to about 300 highly trained professionals employed by the richest nation states in the world. Would you care to comment on that, please? Because I think I'm done.
You know, you don't have to dig too deeply into Richard Branson's history to find out that selling tickets on a flying device isn't a new thing for him. In fact, it's kind of how he launched his airline, Virgin Airlines. And he was stuck in a line with a bunch of other people waiting for a flight that got delayed and delayed and delayed. And he got really frustrated about it. And he, at the airport, he walked over to the counter of a charter airline and said, how much to charter a plane? And then, as the story goes, he got like a chalkboard or a dry erase board or something like that. And he brought it over to where the line of people was. And he said, anybody who wants to fly to this destination, where we've booked a plane, $39 a ticket or whatever the price was at the time. And he sold tickets to a plane he didn't own at that point to the people who were waiting in the line. Because you know what those people had right then? They had a problem. You know what he did? He fixed the problem. And that's how you become wealthy in this country. And he's really just kept doing that over and over in various ways. Find people who have a problem, fix the problem. My understanding is that he went, and I heard an interview with him recently, that they were asking him, like, how did you get going with your airline? Like, how do you get a plane of that magnitude to be able to fly? And apparently, Boeing had some planes that weren't in service. It was kind of a tough time for the economy. And Branson convinced Boeing to let him use the plane for a year, and if he wasn't able to make a go of it, he could just give it back to them. So, he had to pay for it, but at the end of the year, if he was not able to make it successful, then he would just return the plane to them. They would take it back. No harm, no foul. So now what does that take? It's what Bill was talking about. It's something that's created out of thin air, but not exactly. It's created out of the heart and soul of a person with a dream and a passion to see it happen. And somebody who's willing to ask the weird question. I mean, all these guys are a little bit off. You know, if we met them in person, we'd probably think that guy's a little nuts, especially if we knew them, if we didn't know they were billionaires, or if we met them before they became billionaires, we would just think, man, something's wrong with that guy. And next thing you know, he's got a rocket ship up his keister and he's going to the brink of space. And you're like, oh, he's privileged, blah, blah, blah. Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos started out by shipping one book from one place to another. Now, as a book reader, I would think, well, gee, it would be great if you could order books through the mail, because then now you don't have to go to some bookstore, of which there weren't that many, or the public library, and then you got to return the book 2 weeks. It was years, more than a decade before Amazon.com was profitable. Quarter after quarter after quarter, they lost money over and over again. And if you go back and read the press accounts, you'll see that people were constantly speculating about how long can this guy continue to burn through cash like this? And it wasn't his own money. So they were losing money repeatedly because he had a dream. He believed that he could create this retail operation online. And now, every single day, I carry this little suit super thin device, and it's twice as thick as it really is here because I have a case on it. But I carry this thing in my back pocket, and it has dozens, if not hundreds of books. And anytime I have 30 seconds of downtime, I can flip this open and begin reading exactly where I left off the last time. And if I hear about a new book, I can instantly get it right here, as if by magic through space. It just kind of lands in this little sliver of plastic here. So, am I in love with Jeff Bezos? Do I think he's a great guy? I have no idea if he's a great guy. He could be the most horrible person in the world, but I don't care. He did not pick my pocket. He gave me something of great value. He put this in my pocket for a totally reasonable price compared to what it costs to have a bookshelf stacked high with books. And every time I move, I strain my kidneys trying to lift the books and carry them. I can carry my entire book collection right here. In fact, I actually have
the world's book collection.
I have the Harvard Classics in here. You know, the Harvard is like volume after volume after volume. It took about 30 seconds to download the thing. It would fill up all those shelves behind me if I had the hardback versions of it. So that said, I am fired up that these people are going to space. It's always the rich people who do everything first. Of course they're going to space. You remember who had big screen TVs 30 or 40 years ago? Nobody except super rich people. And now who has them? You do. And it's because of them.
Steve, I just want to add one thing, because this reminds me so much of P.G. O'Rourke, was the guy who made me a conservative because he made it cool to be a conservative. And this is a point he made quite a bit. Hey, Scott, what's the 10th commandment?
Oh, don't make me list them in order. I don't remember.
Oh, you do.
I do not. I never went to Sunday school.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's this, thy neighbor's that, thy neighbor's
this. Yeah, or thy neighbor's
ass. No coveting. Thou shalt not covet. And what P.G. O'Rourke said is that what God is saying is, you shalt not covet somebody else's rocket space plane. Go build your own. Right?
Indeed.
That's it. That's the secret of life.
Indeed. I can wrap this up very quickly because Bill and Scott said so many of the things I might have wanted to say that I'll finish up with one thing. The New Republic's Jacob Silverman, who I suspect is an unreconstructed Marxist, said at the New Republic on Monday that Branson, Jeff Bezos, and Elon Musk are boosting their egos using money and resources. This is an exact quote, that belong to the people. Well, let me tell you something. The people didn't build Virgin Galactic. The people didn't build Amazon. The people didn't build SpaceX. Three individuals built those things, and it's their fortunes and their daring and their entrepreneurship that will lift humanity off of this planet far faster than government ever could. And by the way, Mr. Silverman, if you care about the people so much, go build your own fortune and give it away. And that's your right angle on that. Brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.